Your ma couldn't kick snow off a rope, my father said one Sunday when our ma was to play an Ulster senior football semi-final in Clonus. We watched to see how my mother would respond, but she said nothing, just went on twisting her long, frizzy hair into a soft bun at the back of her head, with a look on her face that said, Fermanagh can talk. He would have enjoyed a football match, my father. You can tell that from a photograph taken in the 1960s at the Newcastle Fish. He and some other man are watching a game. My father's arms are folded against his chest. His face is thrust forward and his whole body is taut with concentration on the play. One of the parts of him that faded into the past as the years of his adulthood passed by in northeast County Down, along with the accordion he had played in a band. Sometimes late at night, when everyone else had gone to bed and he was alone and the fire was out, you would hear him pick out a tune he'd played long ago when he was young and among his own kind, in a pub or a dance hall, in Clonus or Ballybay or Emmavale. Because in that pub, in that seaside town, where he and my mother spent their uprooted lives, my father was not among his own kind. He said he hated the sea, but I don't think he hated the sea. I think he hated what accrued in that place by the sea. The Union Jacks, the band practices leading up to the 12th of July every year, and Black Saturday. He would have felt alienated by the Protestant churches and people's names, names like Moore and Reed, Boyd and Bunting and Bowl. And yet he had no friends among the other Catholics who lived in our town, though these were few in number and mostly from the south and west of Ireland. Did his encounters with them remind him that he too was a stranger and that he would never recover what he had left behind? Because on those occasions when he visited his home place, wearing a suit and a white shirt and tie, he was a stranger in the small kitchen with the range and linoleum-covered floor, and Uncle Henry sitting on a straight chair he'd pulled out from the kitchen table. On those visiting Sundays, he would drive first to my mother's home in Dougherty, near Middletown, then cross the border into Monaghan, from Monaghan town to Rosslea, and then to a small farmhouse just off the road at the foot of a hill in the townland of Fife, where he was born. Between the dark green hills and fields and trees of his home and the congealed air of the seaside town where he and my mother raised their family, my father found one supreme pleasure. Golf. It seems strange that he should have been drawn to the game of golf, when the golf club in our town in those days was largely made up of wealthy Protestants with the accents that were more English than Irish. Men who wore cravats and soft woolen pullovers and drove Jaguar cars. But he was good at it. He practiced his swing in the garden, and you would come across him from time to time absorbed in the study of the exact distance to draw back an imaginary putter to hit the ball with just enough weight to send it into the hole. In the months before his death, he would walk up the back lane to the golf course with a 4 or 5 iron in his hand to swing in the rough grass at the back of what used to be the 7th green. I think he found in the game an escape from those dead hours in the afternoon in the bar and a sense of freedom in the open space of the links, the satisfaction of a straight and soaring drive down a fairway recently mown and smelling of cut grass. He played at least 9 holes every day. At weekends, he sometimes joined others to play at Shandon or Clandeboy or Mahee. Mostly, though, he played alone, a solitary figure ranging over the sandy links of our town, in winter, making his way home in the cold and the fading light, the sky rose-coloured or gold-coloured or mint-coloured in the west.